we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room. Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I, anyone, try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scripture, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time again, ladies and gentlemen, to study our Sunday school lesson. So go get your Bible, go get your Sunday school book, and study along with us this morning as we study our Sunday school lesson today. The text today is entitled, Call to Make Disciples. We are called to make disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. The scripture says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And then Acts chapter 1. Verse number 6 and through 8, it says, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are, the God who hears and you still answer prayers. Speak to our hearts this morning in a mighty way, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Our lesson today is entitled, Call to Make Disciples. Call to Make Disciples. And it's taken out of Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Call to Make Disciples. Now, this lesson is following on the back of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus had been raised from the dead. And on last week, we looked at that. We looked at that on last week, how Jesus was raised from the dead and how we was called to believe in the resurrection. And so we looked at the first 15 verses of Matthew chapter 28. But today, we want to finish looking at the rest of that chapter, verses 16 through 20. Now, the location has changed. We have moved now from Jerusalem, and we're moving back up into Galilee. Because the Bible says in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Remember, Jesus had told Mary Magdalene to go and tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. That was verse number 10 of chapter 28 here, Matthew. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. But as you can recall, they stayed in Jerusalem. They was in what I call the panic room. They was in that upper room somewhere in Jerusalem, and they stayed right there. Matter of fact, they stayed because Jesus showed up on that Easter evening, that Sunday evening. He showed up with the 10 disciples. And then he showed back up again the following Sunday, where Thomas was there. He showed back up and presented his hand and his side to Thomas, because Thomas said, I won't believe unless I'm able to put my hand into his nail print and in his hand, and the spear print in his side. And so Jesus showed up. So they didn't go right away to Galilee. But after that meeting, so sometime after that meeting, they finally made it to Galilee. And so the Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So I believe that Jesus probably had talked to them about that meeting when he met with Thomas, that, hey, I want y'all to go to this certain place there in the mountains there in Galilee. And the Bible says when they went, they saw him, and when they saw him that time, they worship him. And like I said, we don't know exactly how long it was between the time that Jesus met them in Jerusalem from the time they met in Galilee. But we do know that when they met him, they worship him. And that's what we're going to do when we see the Lord. When you see the Lord, you're going to worship the Lord. Yeah. Verse number 17b says, but some doubted. Now, we don't know who all showed up in the meeting. We do know it was the 11 disciples was there. But we believe that it was probably a lot more people was there. Some folks believe that, you know, Paul talked about over in 1 Corinthians 15 that 500 saw him at one time. And so it could be that the 500 was there. So we don't really know, but we know outside of these 11 that there was some more folks that was there. And some of the folks, they doubted. And then verse number 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, that's a powerful statement, ladies and gentlemen, where Jesus says, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, when you compare that with Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18, matter of fact, let me go over there and get that right quick for you. You'll see that Jesus again talked about his authority, how he talks about his power. Let me just go over there and get that for you. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of Hades and death. And so you see Jesus, he has the authority, he has the power. Because he has the authority and he has the power, he tells his disciples to go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, keep in mind, the Great Commission was not just given to the 11. That's why I believe that it was a lot more than just 11 people there. Because we know that the 11, all 11 of Jesus' disciples believed in him. Because 10 of them believed, remember, on that Easter day, on that Easter evening when Jesus showed up behind closed doors. Thomas wasn't there. But then that following Sunday, Jesus shows up. Now, Thomas believed. So we know that the 11 believed. And so it was a lot more than 11. I believe it was probably about 500 that was there. And so what I'm trying to establish is the Great Commission was given not just to the 11 disciples. It was given to the church. The Great Commission was given to the church, the followers of Jesus Christ. It was the followers of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he said to them, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, they go is telling them, don't be still. Go just basically means go. I know a lot of time theologians, you know, they try to break down every word. But when you break down this word go, the word go basically means go. Yeah, don't be still. Actually, it's a participle, and it says as you are going. So as you're going through your daily routine, as you're going to the bus stop, as you're going to the car wash, as you're going to the wash your tear, as you're going on your job, as you're going in your house, he says, make disciples. Now, when he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, teach is a commandment. The go is a participle. He know you going. But he says, what should you do once you get going? You should teach. Teach all nations. And that word teach in the Greek is a word, it's the word mathetes. Mathetes. So I'm speaking a little Greek to you this morning. Mathetes. And mathetes means make disciples, make a disciple. So go ye therefore and teach. In other words, your teaching should have the goal of making a disciple. The teaching is not just for information's sake, but the teaching is information that's going to bring transformation and indoctrination. So you are trying to indoctrinate people with the teaching of the Word of God. Did you hear what I said? You're trying to indoctrinate people with the teaching of the Word of God. You done heard of like brainwashing. Well, this is brainwashing in a good sense. Yeah, and that's the problem with our world. Our world is being brainwashing for evil. No, they need to be brainwashed for good. Be washed with the Word of God. Yeah. I said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, we have a sign at our church that says we are not just having church, but we are making disciples. That's the goal. That's the goal. It's just like General Motors. Their goal is to make quality automobiles. They're going to make quality automobiles. They ain't there just making parts and tires and stuff like that, transmissions and stuff, to leave them on the shelf. No, they're putting all that stuff together to make automobiles. They're making quality automobiles. They're in the automobile making industry. Church should be in the discipleship making business. Yeah, we are in the business of making disciples. Now, when it says baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, it's two ways, a couple of ways of looking at that word baptize. The first way of looking at it is the way that we normally look at it. When we think of baptism, we think of what? We think of a person going there to the baptism pool and putting on an illustration of the death, the burial, and resurrection. When that person come into the baptism pool, they are identifying with the death of Jesus. Then when we lay them down, they are identifying with the burial of Jesus. We take them under the water. And then when they come out of the water, they are identifying with the resurrection of Jesus. So we just put on an illustration of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus when we baptize them. That's one way of looking at this. And yes, that's a good way of looking at it, because baptism is an outward illustration of an inward reality. They are showing people whose side they on. They are changing side. They are going from following Satan to now becoming a follower of Christ. So that's one way of looking at it. But that's not the only way of looking at this. The other way of looking at this is what we talked about earlier. It's indoctrinating them. It's indoctrinating them. When it says baptize them, you are indoctrinating them. That word baptism comes, somebody say, well, how did you come back that, Pastor? That word baptism comes from a Greek word, baptizomai. And basically, what they would do, they would take a cloth. They would take a cloth, let's say like a white cloth, and they would dip it in red dye. And when they would dip it in the red dye, then when they pulled that white cloth out, it was no longer white. It was now red because it had been baptized. Yeah, this is what Jesus is really saying. He's saying baptize them, indoctrinate them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Get them where they gonna look like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Get them where they look like God. Baptize them into God. Get so much God in them is wherever you cut them, God will come out. See, the problem with people today is they're being baptized into the world. They're being indoctrinated into the world. They're being filled up with the world. That even when they go around church or church people, they can't help but curse, you know, talk bad language or what have you. Because what? They are so full of the world. They have been indoctrinated with the world. See, when you are hanging out with the world 7 days a week or 6 days a week, and then you go to church just for 2 hours on Sunday, that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. Now, you're going to have to get into that word every day. You're going to have to baptize yourself. You're going to have to immerse yourself into the word of God, that you'll turn out being godly. So that's what he's telling them, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then he says, teaching them to observe all whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the day. Now notice, we can only teach people what Jesus taught his followers. Yeah, yeah. All of this new stuff, that's why I say today, if it's new, then it's not true. Did you hear what I said? If it's new, then it's not true. Yeah, Jesus only authorized us to teach what he taught. We can only teach what he taught. If we are teaching something that Jesus and his apostles didn't teach, then that's some new doctrine. And then that new doctrine is not true. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And that's what we, whatever Jesus taught his apostles and whatever the apostles taught, that's all we can teach. And notice, Jesus knows that that's not going to be popular. Because Jesus was not popular. They killed him. And they killed all of these other 11 disciples, or 10 of these disciples. And John, they tried to kill old man John by putting him on the island of Patmos. But Jesus says, lo, I'll be with you always, even till the end of the age. And so we are commanded to not just teach, not just preach, but make sure that we have a goal in our preaching, a goal in our teaching, and that's to make a disciple. In other words, make somebody that can take your place. Yeah, yeah. You should be training somebody to take your place. Did you hear what I said? You should be training somebody. You should be working your way out of a job. Just like Jesus, after 3 years, Jesus had taught his disciples, and then Jesus went on back to heaven. Yeah, and he had 11 people trained. That's what we got to do. We got to train somebody to take our place. Because if not, it's going to die. The work is going to die. That's why a lot of churches are dying. Because a lot of churches, they was entertainment centers. A lot of churches, they was activity centers. No, you got to, the church should be an educational center. Not an activity center where we just come and have a lot of activities and what have you. An entertainment. No, because all that stuff is going to die. People going to go to the next crowd. They're going to look for the next entertainment. They're going to look for the next gig. Yeah, so you can't, and matter of fact, don't even try to set your church up like that. Yeah, because people who looking for to be entertained, you can always find somebody else out there that's better than you. Yeah, and so don't get into that. Don't get into that entertainment and activity. Because people, they're going to run from this church and run to that other church and run to that other church if they're looking for activity. But the thing that's going to hold people and it's going to keep people is the Word of God. It's the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And that's the only thing that God said he was going to honor anyway, is his Word. Yeah, he says his Word would not return void. It will do what he said that it would do. All right, now we see the commission in Acts chapter 1. Look at the commission right quick in Acts chapter 1. When you turn over to Acts chapter 1, verse number 6, Jesus says, and when they therefore were come together, and this is the 11, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So they was waiting for Jesus. Remember, on Passover Sunday, it looked like Jesus was getting ready to usher into his kingdom. But then that Friday, they killed him. And so, and then that Sunday, he done rose from the grave. And so the disciples now is wondering, all right, now what about the kingdom? Is now the time that you're going to restore to us the kingdom. And so we meet these disciples confused. They are confused about the kingdom. The apostles wanted to know if Jesus will establish his kingdom at this time. But notice what Jesus said to them in verse number 6. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power." And so he's dealing here with some clarification. He's dealing with some clarification. He says it's not for you to know the times of the season. See, there's a time and there's a season for everything under the sun. And so you stay with your marching orders until God changes your marching orders. Yeah, don't you try to change your marching orders, because you don't know the time. We don't know the seasons, but God knows. And there are some things that God has revealed. Those things that God has clearly revealed, then you do those things. Those things that God has not revealed, then you leave that alone until God reveal it. But notice what Jesus says in verse 8. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Notice, he said we're going to start right here in Jerusalem, and then we're going to spread abroad. We're going to start in Jerusalem, and then we're going to take it to the countryside. Judea, that's like the county. And then he says, and then we're going to take it to Samaria. We're spreading out. And then he said, to the uttermost part of the earth. And when you study the book of Acts, you'll see how the gospel spread it. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not just the disciples, all of those that was in the upper room, 120 of them, they received. And see, I believe that a lot of that 120, I believe that they was there at the Great Commission, back over in Matthew 28, and verse number 16 to the end of the chapter. It probably was that the same crowd that was in the upper room. Here in Acts chapter 2. And so we see that in Acts chapter 2, the gospel went out in Jerusalem. And then when you keep reading your Bible, it started spreading in Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 7. It started spreading all from Jerusalem to Judea. And then when you come to chapter 8, you come to Philip went there and he to Samaria and he preached there in Samaria and folks got saved in Samaria. And then you have Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9. And then from Acts chapter 9 to the end of the book of Acts, you see it's been taken to the uttermost part of the earth. And so our jobs, ladies and gentlemen, is not to just have church, but our job is to make a disciple, to make somebody to carry the work on. God wants his work carried on. I'm reminded of what Paul told Timothy. He said, "Timothy, teach these things to trustworthy men that they may be able to teach others." And that's what we are doing, ladies and gentlemen. We need to teach the Word of God and give it to trustworthy men and women that they can teach others. In other words, we are about the business of making disciples. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.